Welcome to Make a Baby with Hashimoto's, where we will chat all things Hashimoto's and baby making. I'm Chelsea, registered dietitian and spiritual healer. I'm also a Hashimoto's warrior and mom of one.
And I'm Morgan. I'm a registered nurse, fellow Hashimoto's warrior, and a new mom of one as well. And we're so excited to help guide you through this amazing journey. Let's make a baby.
Hey guys, before listening to this episode, we want to put out a trigger warning as this episode does contain contents about breastfeeding and the challenges associated with breastfeeding, such as an undersupply of breast milk. We'll also be talking about depression and anxiety during postpartum and while breastfeeding. So if this is something that is triggering for you, you know, we hope to catch you on the next episode.
Welcome back to another episode of Make a Baby with Hashimoto's. I'm sitting here with Chelsea. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have to ask, how is time? Do you guys still do the time change in New York?
Isn't it like everywhere?
I think some places have stopped it and we're like,
oh, that's true. Here. No, you are right. Yes, we still do it in New York.
I was curious because I mean, I don't know about Ellie, but Abe has struggled and I feel like we're still kind of like struggling to adjust. Like he's waking up at like 4 a.m. and just ready to go, ready to party.
Oh my gosh. Buddy. I don't know what kind of magical child I have, but like we're good.
Blessed.
Like I have an extra hour in the morning to myself the last few days. It has been wonderful. I've like done my hair, got dressed, and then she's up like
I'm jealous.
Like her normal time, but it's still like late enough. I don't know.
It works out then.
Yeah, it worked out. I'm fine.
So many people I see like conflicting things about, oh, do this to make sure that your kid, you know, gets their normal sleep, and like then something that totally contradicts it. So I was curious if you did anything or if she just did fine with it.
I mean, we kept her up.
Yeah.
Like the first day, no, I just let her do her normal schedule. But every day I've kept her up like I mean, it's only been a few days, but like 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Past.
Yeah.
And so she's like pretty much fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Good girl. All right. Well, I was curious. It'll be our last year we ever have to worry about this. So
yeah. Thank goodness.
No, thank goodness.
Over it.
But anyways, just to jump into our topic today, we're going to be talking about breastfeeding and the challenges it brings and its connection with Hashimoto's and how Hashimoto's can affect breastfeeding sometimes. I know sometimes when you have a low functioning thyroid, it can cause you to have a decreased supply in breast milk. And for some, like I know that's worrisome for them before their baby gets here. Others may not have any effect at all from this. But just know, like, I just want it known that it can affect your breast milk supply, because I didn't have any doctors like forewarn me about this or tell me or like say like just prepare, it could be harder to breastfeed. But Chelsea, like I know you had an oversupply,
yeah,
or overproduction of milk. So that was, did you think that was gonna happen, or like you were totally caught off guard, or how did you?
So for some reason knew it was going to happen, and maybe I did it to myself, honestly. I was very lucky that my milk came in right away, but I pumped and pumped and pumped as much as I could. I really wasn't super strict,
yeah,
because that kind of pressure on myself I just couldn't tolerate, but I did the best I could. And I also have like huge boobs, and I know that has zero correlation, but I was like, these babies are gonna be filled, like that is it. Maybe I manifested it, I don't know, but I I had a goal in mind, and I think it's a mix of everything. I think that genetically both my mom and my grandma had an oversupply, so I kind of expected it. And I also think I like kind of wanted it secretly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wanted to fill
powerful
my freezer.
Mindset. Yeah.
But who knows? Honestly, I think it's so individualized because I mean, It's so hard.
It depends on, you know, sometimes your birth and how your baby entered this world can come into play. Like, I hemorrhaged and had a huge bleed. Mm-hmm. And I remember the nurses on mother baby were like, you know, you have to keep pumping. You have to keep pumping to like stimulate your supply because your blood's already like low. So your body's not going to prioritize it. And I remember like I would breastfeed Abe and then they would like immediately, they're like, you need to pump afterwards. So it was like constant. And it took me a while for like my supply to come in. I remember like when we did get home from the hospital, that's, I feel like when it all hit and like the engorgement was terrible. And that was like just so uncomfortable. I remember thinking like my boobs are huge and I don't know how to like get this to go down and all of a sudden, like keep pumping and feeding Abe, but I almost feel like the pumping was like making it worse because it wasn't like coming out. And it was like when you don't know what to expect because you've never breastfed or given birth before. I just, that was almost, I don't want to say traumatizing, but just like shocking. And it was a lot to process. You know, you're having just postpartum emotions as it is, and then you have these giant boobs that you're just like, I'm just so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is that it's not common for your milk to come in right away. They say like 5 to 6 days after birth your milk comes in, which is wild to me that
it, you know, takes that long.
It takes that long, but also that there's this, I feel like there's this over, maybe I just felt it, but there's this overwhelming need to like prove myself wrong. Like if I didn't, like if my milk didn't come in, I was a failure. And I just think, and I'm lucky I worked on a lot of those feelings prior because I definitely tend to fixate on things. But, you know, I think that for most women, we go in with the thought of I'm either going to breastfeed or I'm not going to breastfeed. Like you've essentially made up your mind and then maybe you're okay with whatever happens because we firmly believe, like I just speak for both of us, that like fed is best. You do what you need to do for your family. Feed the baby, feed the baby. I don't care from your boob or from a bottle or wherever. Yeah. They're getting nutrition from. It is just important to take care of your child. Like firm believer, I will fight anyone on it. I don't care. And it is just so common though for women to come out, right? You give birth to this baby and then all of a sudden, just like Morgan was, you're like almost forced to like pump or like you, lactation consultants are coming in and they're watching you feed and it's like stressful. And the more stress we put on ourselves, I also think that affects our supply for sure. And our ability to produce the hormones that we need to do it on top of having Hashimoto's, on top of postpartum, on top, right? Mm-hmm. On top of everything. So it is very common for women to have a undersupply. And then there's, I guess, three categories, right? Undersupply, normal supply, and then like on-demand supply, and then oversupply. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women with Hashimoto's do have an undersupply. And I think that, I don't know if there's any like concrete scientific evidence on this, but there is some type of correlation between Hashimoto's, your immune system, and an undersupply. Not everyone. And it may not be you, and every pregnancy is different as well. But you know, when your thyroid isn't functioning properly and then you go through the postpartum hormone crash wildness, your supply can definitely take a hit. Stress definitely affects it. But also it's hard. It's like one of those things when you're saying like, the whole concept of breastfeeding is the more you get out, the more that signals to your body that you need more. Mm-hmm. For some people, they could pump and pump and pump, or they could feed and feed and feed, and they just don't get more. And for some people, it's a gradual thing. For some people, it's a lot. So it's hard. I'm like, I think we're both like touching our boobs.
Yeah.
Because I'm like trying to remember. But I just think that there's something to say that A, you could be on thyroid medication and still breastfeed. Mm-hmm. It is totally safe and fine. Obviously, speak with your doctor. But I definitely think that stress and the thyroid and flares and like kind of causing this weird stress concoction can definitely affect our supply. But is that the scientific reason why women with Hashimoto's may have an undersupply? We don't know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, too, I think about postpartum and how that sometimes is so rough on your body that, you know, I think a lot of times your body, it focuses on the key things that it needs to stay alive. And breast milk is not one of them. So it's going to, I feel like that's the first thing it like cuts off. It's like, I'm not going to spend all my time and energy putting into this when it's worrying about strictly keeping you alive. So
yeah,
I mean, I know like when I was stressed, I definitely felt like my supply would decrease. We were very like, I would say when I was home with Abe on my maternity leave, it was like a demand kind of thing. Like when Abe wanted to eat, I would do it because I hated pumping and pumping was a pain in the ass to me. And there's a lot of like cleaning involved with it. And I just didn't want any part of it. But when I did go back to work, I had to pump when I was at work. Otherwise it was super uncomfortable and like leaking in my bra and like nobody wants that. So, so I had to like switch that over and it was weird. I feel like then I was like, okay, I almost prefer to just pump and like feed him a bottle, which is a weird, it just like shifted back and forth a lot for me. But I will say, I was thinking about this the other day. I remember telling you when I was breastfeeding Abe, like how painful it was for me and that I had a lot of like anxiety around breastfeeding and like when he would latch on. And I remember you being like, this is a condition. Like people who have like this anxious feeling or like a painful letdown. And now I can't remember what it was called.
Oh my gosh. Painful letdown. Let's.
Cause I was literally thinking, I was like, man, I remember that. And I just remember like always, and maybe that's why I preferred the pumping. Cause I didn't have it as bad when I pumped, but it was when he was like latched on and nursing, the letdown would just, it was crazy.
DME. Dysphoric milk ejection. And it's basically when you have negative emotions and a little bit of pain when you have your letdown.
Yeah, had that big time. And I mean, like later on in our breastfeeding journey, not as much, but definitely like in the beginning, it was there. And I was like, I just thought that was normal. But I remember telling you, and you were like, something.
Like that's a thing. Well, because here's the other thing, right? Like breastfeeding in and of itself is very overwhelming and isolating. You are up multiple hours a night feeding your child, whether you're pumping, feeding them a bottle, or a boob to baby. And I think that's it's such a wild emotional time where you don't know what's real, what's not. You know, like
you're at the mode almost.
Yeah. You know? You're at the point where you just kind of like, are like, all right, this is it. You know, it is what it is. And this is where I always say having a lactation consultant outside of the hospital, whether you use a doula, whether you find someone local or you find someone online or whatever it is, might be really helpful to have in the beginning stages because A, we don't know what we're doing. Like, let's all be honest, right? We don't know what we're doing. Who knew with all these tongue ties and lip ties and the latch and the this and that? Unless you feel like you got concrete support in the hospital, some hospitals have really great lactation support, but having a lactation consultant in your pocket is going to be really helpful, especially if your thyroid is affecting your supply. There are many ways to work on your supply, not guaranteed ways to increase your milk production, but ways that help a lot of people. And also just to learn how to breastfeed or how to pump or what size flange you need, right? Yeah. Like there's so much that goes into it that you never think about because it's supposed to be this like natural, like innate ability.
Like motherhood.
Intuition. An intuitive journey, like, oh, the baby's on and like, no, it is not that easy. So having someone could be really helpful throughout the whole process. And luckily there's some great free resources as well online, and especially on Instagram. We could definitely tag a few sources on Instagram. We got to remember to do that. Because I followed everyone. I was like a beast. When I felt like something wasn't right or like Google couldn't answer the question, I followed probably every lactation consultant I could find on Instagram.
Not only that, I feel like finding a good portable breast pump, I used the Instagram lactation consultants like a lot when I was determining like which one I wanted to use, because they all have tried them out or like they know which ones are like really good. And loved my portable one that I had that I used at work. So
they're just
a great, great resource, because I think a lot can change from the time when you're in the hospital, you just had this baby, they're coming in every couple of hours and they're, you know, helping you get your baby to latch and they're, you know, giving you tips and tricks, but then you get home. And I feel like some of that just goes right out the window because so much is happening. So I think, like you said, finding a lactation consultant. And if it is like through your hospital, maybe they do home visits, or just finding someone online or local that can come and like help you afterwards, I think is great, because, you know, making sure you're having good latch, making sure there's not any like tongue ties, lip ties, those things that can affect breastfeeding and your production. So I don't know, finding someone is super important. And, you know, I'm just trying to think what else with a lactation consultant, how else you could use that to your advantage, but they are very, you know, knowledgeable.
They'll tell you. They will tell you how, and your boobs change so fast. I had different flange sizes like every few weeks, 'cause like your boobs just get bigger and
I don't know.
It was wild. I've never seen my nipples like that in my entire life. It was wild. And just, I don't know. They were their own. I feel
like when you're pumping too, this might be TMI, but like how much your boob stretches when you're pumping, I'm like, what? I did not like know.
It's not supposed to. Your boob or your nipple?
Your nipple. I meant your nipple.
It's not supposed to. That's elastic nipples.
So that's what I was going to say. Then I got a different flange and it was much better. And like, I remember reading, it was on one of the lactation consultants. She's like, you don't realize that like the two standard sizes, I don't remember what they're.
I think it's like 21.
21, something like that. She's like, are really actually probably too big for most people. And you really need like an 18 or a 15.
That's literally both of my boobs were the, like I had one 18 and one 15.
Yeah. I think I can't remember which one I went down to, but once I got those smaller flanges, I was like, this has made a world of difference.
Because it hurts. Imagine like stretching your nipples. I can't even describe it for you. If you've done it, you know what we're talking about. But you know, luckily there's tons of different definitions of breastfeeding. And breastfeeding to me means you are giving the milk that you produce to your child, or milk that any woman produces to your child. So there's formula feeding and breastfeeding. So when we say breastfeeding, we mean pumping, we mean boob to baby, we mean, you know, donor milk, like whatever that includes. And then there's formula feeding, which we both did both. So it's like, I'm all for what makes life easier. You know, but a lot of women do find difficulty with pumping, and it was the one thing I think that saved my life. I had a really weird reaction. I thought I was going to have this like magical breastfeeding experience where like, I'm a little crunchy sometimes. So like I wanted the her to be on my boob. And guys, like, my baby was so small. She was born prematurely. Yeah. And like, my boob, I don't think you understand how big my boobs are. It would cover her. So like, all I could see her two little eyes sticking out over.
You're like, are you breathing?
Yeah, literally. I literally had to like hold my boob down so she could breathe. Like, it was, and I just had this like guilty reaction. And so I decided that pumping would be better. Mm-hmm. And it just worked out so well, because I also, and this is how my brain works, I need instant gratification. And so seeing what I was producing and the amount just like helped my anxiety, knowing that, oh, this pump wasn't enough to feed her. Okay, I'm going to power pump. Or, you know, there's tons of lingo. You'll learn it all when you go through this experience. But just know that there's multiple ways to breastfeed your child. There's multiple ways to feed your child. And what works best for you is what's important to do in that situation. But now back to Hashimoto's and breastfeeding specifically, because this is one thing that I think is really important that would help your pumping experience or your feeding experience, is getting lab work done earlier postpartum. Mm-hmm. So you get home, and doing lab work within the first month is going to be really helpful with your production. Yeah. Because we know that when studies have definitely found that when your TSH is at a normal level, you don't necessarily have many issues with breastfeeding or producing milk or lactating. But when your TSH is even just a little bit off, it can definitely cause issues, because your TSH affects the hormones that produce your milk. So this is why having someone who's following you, and you and them having a very realistic conversation towards the end of your pregnancy, saying, what's the plan for postpartum for the first few months before, you know, for the first few months postpartum, I'd like to be tested once a month, once every 2 months, whatever you come up with and you feel comfortable with your doctor. But that's going to be really helpful. And also, like, you have a plan, you don't have to worry about it at that point. Like you've made the plan, you know, you're getting tested. You don't have to like try all these million different things. You have someone following you, which I always think is really helpful.
Maybe that's the one thing that you've done all the other research or tried all the other tricks, and it's just your TSH that needs some support with some medication, and it helps your supply.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've seen that with a few clients. I'm always like, did you get your labs checked? Yeah, like that could definitely be doing weird things, no matter whether it be
not just milk supply,
lactating, mm-hmm. everything. But that is really going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. So moral of the story is having support throughout your feeding journey, no matter what it is always helpful and important. Because we put so much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
So much. And this is one of the things I think I handled a little bit better than I was surprised at, because I went into it, like I said, with the goal of breastfeeding, boob to baby.
Yeah.
And that was the goal. But I also understood at that point my mental health was not the best. And I was like, I need to release some control, because I would stay up all night worrying about this kind of stuff. So I said from the get-go, I just need to feed my baby, whatever, like, well, I'll try whatever I need to try, but if it doesn't work,
as a backup.
Exactly. And I had formula in the house ready to go. I did research on brand, like, I knew we always had that option. And taking that pressure off, honestly, I didn't feel any pressure. And like, I did, but I didn't. The pressure I felt was myself doing it, not like what I thought was the right thing.
Right.
But it really was, I think, a much more pleasant experience coming from a place of whatever works versus no, it has to be this way, because old me would have done that. Old me would have said it felt like such a failure if it didn't work the way I wanted it to. Instead, it was just an easy switch. And I think it really helped the experience that much better, which is like, because like I said, I manifested it, like, which who knows, right? But like, going in with that mindset, I think really helped. And I'm not saying, guys, like, I get it, anxiety, depression, the societal pressure, family pressure, whatever you're going through. I get it. But at the end of the day, it's you and your journey and your baby's life. Mm-hmm. And you have to take care of yourself too at the end of the day. So whatever is going to help you the most at the end of the day is going to help your baby the most. Mm-hmm. So I knew my thyroid was off because I was having anxious feelings, but I also was very aware of that, and I got it taken care of and had the mindset that I need to release control of the things that I cannot control. So if this does not work, I have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, and it'll all work out fine. And here we are 14 months later, totally fine. Yeah. And I'm just so glad I made that decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Release.
Like, it's like just taking you such a positive direction on this breastfeeding journey. And I mean, I don't feel like I had pressure on myself, but not to the point of like, if I don't do this, like, this is going to be the end all be all. And, you know, I think once when we did the move and that was stressful, I noticed my supply was not enough to, like, he was wanting more at that time. He's, you know, getting older, yeah, wanting more milk. And I just couldn't keep up with it. And I think at that time I was like, of course, that was when the formula shortage was like happening. I'm like, shit, you know, I've got to get my supply up. So I was like trying, like adding more oats into my diet and like adding things to try to like help get my supply up. And like, it helped to an extent, but you can only eat so many like oats in different ways, you know?
Yeah.
And at that point, I remember you being like, you can have my Bobby subscription if you want it, because we're about done. And but it all ended up working out, and we've transitioned to formula now, and he did fine. I was so worried about him having a reaction to formula. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I just, what if he has a rash, or like, what if, and he loved it. The first bottle, he like slammed it, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what the like the pressure or the worry was about, because it was totally fine. Yeah. And it's like, he didn't know a difference, basically.
Yeah. Well, it's a valid fear.
It's hard to like give, I don't want to say give it up, but like also be like, oh, you know, he's fine on the formula. He doesn't need like my milk solely. He can do both. Mm-hmm. And he's just fine. He's getting all the nutrients he needs, and that's worked out for us. And it's been less pressure on myself, like, especially through the move, trying to be like, well, I have to keep my supply up for him. He's basically solely on formula now, which is great.
Yeah. I think another cool thing though, and this is something I just forgot about until now, is that there's more options out there. Like, donor milk is a huge thing. So
many Facebook groups out there for donor milk.
Yeah. So if you are an under supplier, I hate grouping people.
Yeah.
I have like a weird thing about that, but if you do have an undersupply, or you're just an effer, right? And you just want a little bit of stock, a little bit of whatever, just to make yourself comfortable, don't be afraid to ask for donor milk. Yeah. I like, that was my plan D. That was like my last plan, but it is so cool. These milk banks, it's just the women who are able to donate are so magical. During the formula shortage, I felt so guilty that I stopped pumping like 3 months before, because I had an oversupply, and I was like, I could have donated so much milk to these people. I am on medications though, so no one probably would have wanted it. But that's besides the point. Some people would have, you know, my thyroid medication, I'm also on an antidepressant. So some people are iffy, but whatever. I just felt so guilty, because I was like, I had so much. I was making like 112 ounces a day, which is like ridiculous. That blows
my mind. That's so crazy.
But I do know it's a sensitive topic, and I do know that it makes people uncomfortable, and I get that. But I want you to know that there are so many options. So if you feel like you want your baby to have some breast milk, there are so many ways you can get it. One other way is, obviously, if you have a friend who's breastfeeding, just to ask them to pop your baby on there.
I had a friend who, two friends I used to work with, and she had both had their babies like within weeks of each other. One could not breastfeed. She couldn't pump, but she just didn't have much supply. The other had an oversupply and literally fed both the babies.
So magical.
It was. And like, such a like sweet and like endearing connection with the four of them, because, you know, my friend was like, yeah, I got to meet both of them. And like our other friend was so just happy and like grateful that she could do that for her. And it was very sweet. And I know how much that meant, you know, to the one woman who couldn't feed her child, like breastfeed. And that's what she really wanted to do.
So magical.
Lots of,
what a nice friend.
It was, she is, she's the best. So cool.
But I, you know, moral of the story is it is common to have supply issues with Hashimoto's when your TSH is out of whack. But it's also common in general, and there's no way to tell what it's going to be. But luckily there are tons of resources out there, tons of great pages and people and companies out there that are there to help through this process. I think the most important piece of advice I would give to someone who is either going to give birth soon or is working on their supply is to do everything you can not to put stress on yourself, which I know sounds like I hear the eye rolling happening right now. But it really just comes from a place of you need to trust yourself, and what's going to happen is going to happen. And there's no sense in stressing over something that is out of your control for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have a plan A and a plan B and take the pressure off yourself. Like your baby's going to be fed, and that's like what's important.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would your biggest piece of advice be?
My biggest piece of advice would be reach out to people who are experts in this field. So like a lactation consultant. And I did a breastfeeding class before I had Abe as well. Mm-hmm. And I think had I not done that, I would have been really clueless on what to maybe expect. And that helped a big time.
Yeah, I took the
almost didn't do clueless. It. I almost didn't do it. I mean, it is like a very trial and error process, but it, for me, it was a little bit like, okay, this is what I can maybe expect. And the lactation consultant who ran the class actually was the same lactation consultant who came and saw me in the hospital. And it was comforting at the same time. Cause I was like, okay, I know this lady, she saw me in the class. It was like a live Zoom. Mm-hmm. And, she just made me feel like really comfortable. So that's finding awesome. Someone that makes you feel comfortable and can like answer your questions for you, having some support.
For sure. So helpful. I love it. Well, this was a fun episode. We definitely know that there are some sensitive topics in here, but hopefully we gave you some realistic support, realistic expectations, and some fun and enjoyment with our stories. And we would love to hear your thoughts, or if there are any topics you want us to cover, go more depth in, make sure to leave a review, reach out to us at Instagram. Everything will be in the show notes for you. We love you. We're proud of you. We're excited that you're here, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye, guys.